Winter has come early to the Cape of Storms, but here we are with the Sunday show with Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Welcome, Neil.
Jacques, very good morning. It is cold. It is winter without a doubt on us. Chris, may I ask that before we start our great show today, that we pour out our love, our admiration to all the mothers today, because it is Mother's Day today. We sometimes forget what a mother, our own mom, our grandmothers, mean to us. And what they mean to me is, I've long lost my grandmom, but Mariana, my mom, always watches the show and always wants to know if I've got a jersey on and if I've brushed my teeth. But to my mom, to all the moms out there, you are a solid rock to us. You're the one that we always go to and will never forget. So, baie goeie moedersdag aan elke ma, for those who have moms alive, spoil them, treat them, and cherish them with everything we've got.
And may we spare a thought for those mothers and parents whose children are not with them today, no longer with them, and for the children without mothers.
Indeed.
Let's start with Deputy President Paul Mashatile. His pledge to protect the 100 billion rand transformation fund from corruption.
You know, when you start to say the word Paul Mashatile, I think it hurts people. When you go and you fly quite often like I do and you go down to touchdown, sometimes your ears close because of the differentiation in air pocket. And then there's a whizzing anai in your kop and in your brain. Well, Paul Mashatile gives me that. Because he's every single week, Chris, he's in the news for the wrong bloody thing. Now, except for this gentleman, if we must call him that today, trying to feistly fight to be the next president, which I really hope he will not be, is in the news this week for, again, two wrong things. Number one, which we will discuss today, is the absolute crazy behavior of the people that surround him. And we will have an in-depth discussion on that. But Chris, can you imagine having a person that has to revive, restrain, reorganize, and redirect the economy, sits on more committees than Tantini, and at this current moment of time gets up and says they are going to now not only BEE, BBBEE, but they're now going to raise another 100 million to ensure that BEE is solidified and protected from corruption. Chris, where have you ever heard in your life that a member of cabinet of a country has to go into the media and say to people that we are going to spend this money on already something that's hopeless, and that he will guarantee that this amount of money will not be stolen? Now, there was the same speech made by Cupcake Cyril, if I can take you back, so that our memory are not dazed, that when we were talking about the COVID funding and we were severely locked down, I remember chasing service and delivery everywhere that we could. I mean, Chris, lockdown was harsh. It was so harsh that Becky Tselle had to chase people in the sea with jet skis to arrest surfboard players. It was. But I will never forget when Cyril Ramaphosa wanted money from corporate South Africa, which, you know, he asked for donations, and also made the same statement that they will ensure that that money will be circled, will be protected. And what happened at the end of the day, Chris? 500 billion gone. So I'm sorry. Paul Mashatile can say what he wants to. and he can say anything that he wants us to be satisfied. But I would like to read then just the following statement to Mr. Paul Mashatile. Paul, you there? Here it goes. Zondo Commission, 4 years, 300 witnesses, 3,171 summonses, 8.6 million pages of documents in the Zondo Commission, 1 billion rand of taxpayers' money, and 1,438 ANC elite cronies and cadres mentioned in the Zondo Commission. Mr. Mashatile, if you want this country's support and if you want this country's absolute trust, fix that. Start with that. And maybe this country will start getting credibility back when you and your leadership start talking about money, corruption, and protection.
Well, still on the deputy president, he had quite a good week. His VIP protection officers being acquitted of assault in an internal police disciplinary hearing, despite video evidence.
Chris, I will echo Mr. Ian Cameron's statement. The only problem is Mr. Cameron is bound by an oath and has been sworn in at Parliament. I have not been. So I can say this in public until maybe one day I enter the hallowed grounds of that tent. Thugs. Absolute thugs. There's no other way to describe them as a bunch of hooligans and thugs that have each been given a badge. Now, the first thing that Pop Crew does, which sounds like something that you take with a bit of salt and vinegar when you go to the cinema, but unfortunately, Pop Crew is one of the police unions of this country. Pop Crew, who is supposed to stand up for the rights of police and obviously also to ensure that the public interest is served through the police, says that Mr. Ian Cameron must immediately be removed as the chairperson of the Police Portfolio Committee because he called them thugs. Well, they are thugs. They are nothing else as a couple of people that took their position and weaponized it, Chris. There's a video out there. They said that that video should not be used in evidence. I'd like to remind it and the people that, thank goodness, this is just an internal affair. As I understand it, there is still court cases that will come out where criminal charges will be put to them. But Chris, doesn't that again allude to the fact where Mr. Paul Mashatile, at a very famous BizNews conference, when a certain person got up at that conference and said to him, what are you going to do to clear your name? And he said, no, he will absolutely succumb to the internal parliamentary disciplinary processes. This is exactly the same. Why would one on one find each guilty when they are all one? So, Chris, it's shocking. It is a terrible shame. And I must tell you that this is not the conduct that we as citizens wish to have from police officers, but more the kind of ethos, honor, and dignity that should surround the person that is supposed to be the deputy president of this country. Hooligans and thugs, and you can put that on record.
Meanwhile, President Cyril Ramaphosa has launched this second phase of Operation Vulindlela. How did the first phase go, Neil, in your opinion?
I think this is going to go off like a Rocky show. Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, and he's retired. You know, Chris, when you, firstly, let's discuss what is the word Vulindlela. Vulindlela, translated directly from a Zulu translation, means open the way. Makipat oop. So that's what it means. It means opening the way. Now, if this is the second round of opening the way to economic refreshment, revival, then God, I must tell you, prevent us to get to Vulindlela 3. You know, Cyril Chris, which I know, you know, I've watched him from the dark side and the light side, loves poetic suggestions and phrases. You know, I remember when he sat down the one day in Parliament with his opening statement and he used a Yu Masekela song, Tumamina, which means send me. I later on added a word called Tumamina Pi, which means send me where, want die toral en weet waar toe jy ons stuur. But that was his poetic repertoire. Then, you know, he came back with this great story, and I was there. One day when I see Cyril again, I will remind him that I was at the 80th birthday of Mawini, which was held at the Mount Nelson. And he there started also with a poem. Rise, we will rise. And now he uses Brenda Fassie's song, Wulilele. And you know, Chris, nothing's going to happen. No openings, no ways. It's just going to go in shock. Did you read his speech? I read it. I had to read it to give comment about it. You know, he speaks of progress and projects and commissions and investigations and conclusions and understanding and the foundation. Just so Mensa, if you went on like this, this would be like a festival in a Chinese restaurant. You just take everything away. But he's not delivering. He cannot deliver on what he now says he's going to deliver: more energy, more power. He's going to build more dams. He's going to build more schools. What about 5-6 years ago when you were speaking about building these massive techno parks? You see, you've got to be technically apt to build a techno park. I mean, at the one stage, he couldn't even find his laptop. I'm not insulting him. I'm just saying, we're not tired, Chris, of continually Wulilela 2, Wulilela 3, Wulilela 4, Wulilela 5, and also Wulilela 6, Wulilela. It's starting to sound like a traditional wedding song. So again, Chris, great words, great speech, great things that he wants to progress on. But if you have to sit down and look at the past 10 years where this man has basically had the reign of this country, it's a disaster. And he has still not fixed America. He has still not appointed an ambassador permanent. He's sending a person that's already going into a cloud. And until he doesn't fix the problems of absolutely rectifying our biggest trade partner in the world, we can mavulinlela totdat jy jou moeder is, but we are not going to get to the end of the show. And that is the sad part of it. Like to trust him, like to believe him. I think this is now the fifth time bitten, 16 times shy.
Talking about America, Neil, are you going to be on the Sunday show next week, or are you going to be on that chartered plane with 100 Afrikaner refugees on their way to Trump's America?
No, I'm going to be here.
Okay.
Chris, I want to make it very clear, because I think the last time, you know, that we did the BIS conference, which was a great success, I think people on my reaction when I said that I'll stay, that it was a indictment on the people that want to go. So let's quickly, if I may, spend 2 minutes on that. Chris, there are certain people in this country that feel that they have no more an economic, a physical, or a safety future in this country of their birth. This is a feeling that you cannot eradicate, and this is something that you can't dictate to many. It's time that people just sit back and understand that the 100 people or the 200 people, or as I now understand it, the 8,000 applicants that they are still working through, Chris, are part of a meaningful people that leave the country every day. So if they're going by the 100 or if they're going by the 20, 50 a day, there's no difference. People are economically immigrating. Can we use that word? There's a mass economic immigration of South Africans, and it's not just going to the United States of America. They are going wherever they can get a job. They are going wherever they can be welcomed. And Chris, I make it very clear, saddest moment in our life, saddest time that we are living through a generation where you and I are physically seeing people leave their country of birth because they don't see a future anymore. If you wish to go overseas, and if you want to go get yourself a better life, Chris, we can't stop you and we won't stop you. And actually, we support that you look after your family. There are many people there, the H2A, I know you know them, the people that go farm overseas, that don't see their kids and families for years because they need to earn a living. But shocking, scorching, that we have got to the stage where another country is saying to our people, no matter the news, no matter the fake news, the hype, or whoever has whose ear, sad the day that we are finding such migration taking place, not anymore just because they want to earn a better living, but because of culture, because of creed, and yes, Chris, because of the pigmentation of skin, that they are now going to have to leave, or they feel they have to leave. I say we stay. The only way that we can change this country is to change the position of its law, of its thinking, and of its ethos. And I'm one of those that are, trust me, on the matter of this, Chris, there are hundreds and thousands of South Africans that wish they did not have to leave this country. I know it. But to them, there is absolutely one thing clear. You'll remain a South African in your heart and in your soul, and that will never leave your DNA. And we wish them well. We just wish that we could bring them back sooner than later.
Well, Neil, amid all this turbulence in Afrikaner politics, the Afrikaans language turned 100 this week. Last week, sorry.
Yeah, before our show, Chris, if I may, I know I'm going to drop a couple of people here, but I would like to do this following segment in Afrikaans, if I may. Dit is 'n absolute eer. Dit is 'n absolute opinie van myself dat dit 'n verskriklike goeie en 'n iets wat 'n mens trots kan oorwees as jy hierdie taal Afrikaans kan praat. Daar's nie baie mense in die wêreld wat hierdie taal ken nie. Daar's nie baie mense wat hierdie taal kan praat nie. Maar as die mense hierdie taal hoor, dan weet hulle dit is 'n taal wat uniek is. Dit is die jongste taal in die wêreld en hy is nou 100 jaar oud, hy's 'n eeu oud. So aan al die Afrikaners, aan al die mense wat Afrikaans kan praat, baie geluk aan julle dat 100 jaar van hierdie taal staan en in my opinie dat hy nog 300, 400, 500 jaar moet staan. What I've just said is it's proud to be able to switch to a language that's one of the youngest languages in the world, Chris. A language that sounds right. And, you know, when I use it, people clearly understand that if I was in Czechoslovakia and ek het vir hom gesê jou moer, he understands not what I'm saying, but he clearly understands he didn't say good morning. It's a language that, you know, that I was brought up in. Nay, it's not just white people that speak that language. Our people of the descendants of the Khoi, the Khoisan, the Griqua, the Nama, the First Nation, the people that came up, the people, the colored community, if you want to call them that, they speak it with much more passion sometimes than we do. So it's something to celebrate. It's something just to go, Stahostel. It's something that we and you can just celebrate today and say, wow, what a privilege is that we have such a language. But what an absolute sad scenario that we have to defend it and that we have to protect it at all levels. And because we should do so, not because of its heritage or its history, but because we own it. Dis ons taal, dis ons moedertaal. So to everybody that can speak it, baie geluk, and to those who can't, dis donderwel tyd dat julle nou begin leer, want daar's niks beter as 'n lekker Afrikaanse woord.
Dankie, Neil. You know, before we go to the state of the South African National Defence Force, I know some of our viewers are wondering whether we have more information on the Hennops River cops who died there so tragically. But I'm still getting in a lot of information that needs to be processed. So I'd like us to reserve judgment on that unless you have something specific that you feel we should share today.
Well, Chris, this thing has been suppressed and put under cover quicker than what you can say Makai Poiki Kostu. This thing has been, I don't know if you agree, but it's been silenced on every angle that currently you can find. The last bit that we got was that the secondary part of the car was removed. People were starting to give their opinions. And Chris, I'm always scared when we get people that give their opinions and there's no fact on that basis. And I think when you and I started the show, it feels so many years ago, but it isn't, that we agreed that we would not put anything on this show if it wasn't verified or fact-checked. So we did not give an opinion. The only thing that we are now understanding that has come out that's extra, Chris, is that in actual fact, the deployment that was given to the public of who these officers were, seemingly are now coming out that, and I'm saying allegedly, is not so, that they were deployed in a certain capacity. We now find out that the one gentleman that was found was without a doubt in CID. He was in crime intelligence. That is now the fourth person. But it also deems that one of the three that also were deceased, let's call it the original three, that one of them were also linked to crime intelligence, and that is to be verified. So this thing is definitely not going to go away. And Chris, I think from our side, as the Sunday show on BizNews, we won't let it go away. I think we owe it to the deceased officers to find out what's going on and ensure that justice does prevail. And that is exactly where it is. Chris, you will bring it out and I will bring it out the moment that we get more verified. But sad indeed, their services held in the past week, and not at all good to see the sorrow and the sadness of the families left behind.
With no answers. Neil, let's go to the South African National Defence Force. All the spin around the withdrawal from the DRC and that really sad medal parade of the Navy.
Chris, firstly, when the Admiral, Vice Admiral of the Navy stands up and actually has to say that the actual division that he heads up is in disarray. Because don't we find it shocking that this is now the third or fourth general, although he is a vice admiral, has to get up in public and say that his own service is in absolute collapse and in a state of disaster. I noted that they've launched, I think, two frigates or two strike craft in the past month, which they absolutely enjoyed for the massive pomp and ceremony. But now the problem is you probably need sailors to sail them, and you probably need fuel to fuel them, and you probably need to service them. And again, Chris, this is where the Chief of the Army, the Chief of the Navy, and everybody, and even the Air Force, have got up and said, but we don't have the budget. We don't have the funding, and we need to rectify that. So they came out, launch another canoe and 19 kayaks that have a spear gun attached to it. But it ain't going to make the difference. They don't have the money to take those ships and do what they should be, and that is to patrol our shores, do maritime defense. So I hope, Chris, that this poor gentleman that stood there seemingly very alone gets some help and actually get some assistance. And then, Chris, to move over and to look at the what you and I have been asking for now so many, is to withdraw our troops from the DRC. Chris, so shocking that we can't fly them out, but that we have to drive them out to Tanzania. I mean, have you ever heard in modern-day warfare, in modern-day tactics, that we have not been granted permission by the enemy to actually bring aircraft in to fly our people out so that they in one day can be back home. But it takes them 2-3 weeks just to drive from their camp to another camp so that they can be moved to another camp. This is ridiculous. And Chris, to claim victory, to go sit there and say that we as the SANDF can be proud. Yes, we are. We are very proud of each man and woman that did their service, but we are definitely not proud on this show of the management and the leadership that absolutely caused the disarray that we went through and ended up in the loss of a multitude of our sons and daughters. We will not forget that. And they must not come here and talk utter rubbish when they say that we can claim victory on this matter. It was a failure. It was a dismal letdown. And we must never, ever have that happen again. I think the voices of South Africans truly combined themselves, stood up and made this happen. So to the South Africans out there that stood up to bring our sons and daughters back, kudos to you and well done. I just wish we could have the same voice by removing this ANC, this treacherous government, and the people that continue to slaughter the carcass of such a good country. And the only way we can do that is beat them at the ballot box and make sure that there is truly change coming, because we can't go on like this, because it's not possible.
Neil, I want to go back to Zondo. You mentioned the Zondo Commission earlier. While the country is waiting for high-profile prosecutions behind the scenes and sometimes not behind the scenes, political opponents and whistleblowers are being targeted with malicious prosecutions. Is the NPA captured? What is happening here?
You know, Chris, we spoke about this. Judge Zondo came out, I think, a week or two ago. We were speaking at an event where he actually touched on the matter of Jacob Zuma, the incarceration of Jacob Zuma, which was a farce and was an absolute, in my opinion, the appeasement of a few so that we could keep the many at bay. Little did that help the people that suffered the looting in KZN. And he touched on the fact that his opinion was totally different from many on the bench, and that Jacob Zuma, who got a medical parole certificate, just like the other walking dead that are amongst us, currently should have stayed longer. And Chris, when you now look at the veracity of certain people like Jacob Zuma and their fierce combating of this death illness that they had, why they could not go and sit in prison like they were judged to be, they are absolutely drinking something, Chris, that we should find out. We should write an official letter and say, how the hell did they get it right to be so alive? Because when they were going to go in, they were so dead. So I think the touching of Zondo on that matter is a clear indication that not everybody that sits in the benches of justice is captured. The only problem is, Chris, is de facto now. It is now clear on the record and nothing can be done from his side. I don't think we are struggling with a NPA that is corrupt in a big way. Yes, there must be corruption and that's being flaunted, and we do have that expose month after month. Chris, I'm starting to think that very clearly there is no support, there is no structure, and there's absolutely no funding to get to competency. Now, you will remember when they asked for the Zondo Commission's files. There was a time, I think 3 months ago, we did a show where we spoke where a prosecutor said that they think that evidence is being destroyed, allegedly, and that they are not being given the proper investigative dockets by the investigators, which is prohibiting this onslaught of getting the 1,348 people that have been named to stand in the accused box. Now, there's been one or two that have been given to us, Chris, but that is a lamb choppy vadisha, already Rebecca said. We are not interested in that. We are interested in the whole carcass to get out. And yeah, I understand. Chris, I don't know. It's time for a new boss. It's new. We've spoken about this. And that we get someone out there that's, I think, a bit more feisty and a bit more ready. But the indicators at this time is it's a waste of time.
Thank you. That was Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday Show. With me, Chris Stain. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks, Chris, and to all the moms, extra love today.